Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for another episode of A Novel Beginning, where we share an author's reality. I am your host, C.R. Rice, and as always, I have the wonderful Danielle M. Orsino here with me tonight. So today we are going to talk in all about what it means to have shots fired as an author and in the publishing world. But before we get to all of that, Danny, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jels. How are you doing? You recovered yet from Richmond?
I don't know. I always feel like I'm getting, maybe I'm getting slower at the recovery time. Or maybe it's because that I don't actually take that week we get back off. I'm running around trying to do everything. So it's like the week and a half after is when I always get that run down, my body telling me to like calm down, take a second.
Yeah,
what about you?
Like
how is
that.
Your recovery?
I don't know. It feels like each con's getting bigger and longer. I think it's taking a little bit. But I think this is also a good topic to start out with, shots fired after a con. It kind of goes with it. But let's start out with you and shots fired. What's because this one kind of goes with us, and we have a very specific story to go with it. I mean, everybody knows why we started the pop-up bookshop and a little bit of how. But I don't think they really know the backstory of it. You know, they get the con we went to and maybe things didn't go right. And, okay, yeah, there were some flubs here and there. And, you know, we were little rays of sunshine. But I don't really know what happened afterwards and how that all went down. So why don't you start this one off?
Well, so, I mean, for those, you know, maybe this is your first time or for a couple people that need a recap, me and Danielle started something called the Pop-Up Bookshop a year ago as of January, a year for our first event as of Richmond earlier this month. And what we do is we travel the country with a couple different event houses, the main one being GalaxyCon, and we help indie and local authors reach new audiences, give 100% of the profits back. We're just trying to help everybody out as much as we can. But where this all really started from was doing a favor for a publishing house and helping them trying to do the, not politically correct, but, you know, we wanted to help them expand and reach new audiences for the authors that worked with them, including us, because it was our publishing house. We were fortunate enough to get a connection. Danny had made a fun reach out that just so out of one of many that she did, one got back to us, and it was really great. We went to, you know, we did everything. We got all of the author information. We set up the booths. We did everything for this particular event. And by the end of it, things had gotten a little out of hand. Requests were made that were just kind of like you're an A-lister, but in reality, you're like a Z-lister. And maybe you should just kind of like take a back seat, but they didn't feel like they should have. They thought, you know, they were bigger than they were. And luckily, it didn't kill the relationship for us, but it did create some tension because we got into a situation where after the event, what a lot of people don't know is you should actually sit down with the people that throw the event if you have the chance and have a discussion. We got pulled into one. I wouldn't say it was a request. So much as a, here's the date, time, I'll see you there, end of email. So we went, we were excited. We were like, oh, this has to be great because we're naive and we don't know what we're talking about. We're like, oh, this is so great. They love this. Everything is fantastic. You only want to immediately talk to people literally the day after if something amazing happens because we were trying to be optimistic. It wasn't sunshine and rainbows. It was kind of like a thunderstorm and an earthquake with a little bit of a tornado going on. It came down to basically them not feeling appreciated. The convention hall, the owner of the person of the convention, the person that runs it and sponsors it and does everything for it, felt very disrespected and put off by a few situations that they had heard about, that they had been a part of, that they had experienced. One that they had witnessed. And so we were giving an ultimatum. And that ultimatum was with the understanding that I was no longer working with the publishing house. So they came and said, you know, we would love to work with you. We know Danny is a part of this deal, but we also know Danny is working with the said publishing company. So we want to give you the chance to bring in all of the authors, not just this one publishing house, which is what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a multiple of authors, not just this particular publishing house. And they gave me the ultimatum of either I take the spot and say, absolutely, I can do this. I'm going to bring all these different authors. Danny is not going to, you know, only choose this side. She's going to be with me. Everything is going to be great. Or it was, thank you. Hope you had a great event. You may or may not ever be welcome back. And so I decided to take it without telling Danny. And then I called Danny and said, Danny, guess what we did? And then I told Danny, and we had a little mini freak out. And then we pulled it all together, and we have just celebrated our one-year anniversary. So that is the very edited version of what had happened. But it comes down to, and, you know, a lot of publishing houses, we talked about this before, where especially, you know, the one that we worked with, they tell you, you know, you're a celebrity. You printed your book. Yes. Your book is out there. Everybody is there. You are a celebrity. Basically act like you are a celebrity. You're not.
No, you're not.
Like, I don't even know if I could. I know Stephen King. You know what I mean? But I don't know if I would actively recognize Stephen King. I don't know if I would actively recognize J.K. Rowling. You know what I mean? Or Rowling. I think there's a big fight over how to say her name. But regardless, it's one of those where I don't know. So what ended up happening is this ego was so strong and so ridiculous that it put off an entire convention owner. And that is not what you want. You want to get as far away from that as you can possibly get.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, it was, the publisher kind of had this attitude of trying to tell us all the time. And it would be said, and we would have these like town hall meetings, these Zoom meetings. And it was always, remember, you are a celebrity. We've checked laws. There's certain laws now to protect you in this BS. And some authors did buy into that. They really did. Those of us who had half a brain realized, no, we're not. And let's not go there. And we knew better than to even adopt that persona, because a lot of authors we're introverts. We're not looking for celebrity. That's not what we want. We just want somebody to read our book. And when you tell us you've read our book, we're so darn grateful that somebody out there has read it, because we can't believe it.
Yeah.
That's about as crazy as it gets. the problem was the publishers started to believe their own BS. And I think they had to do it because you can't preach it and not practice it, you know? So that
Absolutely.
Was another part of it. But when we got to the convention, we had made it very clear that we were the point people with this event. They had spoken to us. And there could be no demands because they had used someone before, and it did not go well at all. It was like, it was bad. And so they weren't even sure they wanted to do another use a publisher and sell books. They weren't even sure they wanted to do this because it had gone as bad as it did. So it was hesitant to going in. And they were kind of like, okay, they had known me as a cosplayer. So they were like, you know the convention scene, you know the circuit. So you're not just coming in as an author. You kind of know how this goes. You're one of us. We'll open the door slightly. And let's see how this goes. But the thing was, you got to do some panels. Mm-hmm. And we were like, cool, no problem. We got this. We made up a couple panels. One of them was a live rendition of a podcast that the publisher had done. And that was our idea to do it. And then we came up with more content that was related to the con. And they were like, that's cool, do that. We were like, got it. Cool, we're going to do this. It'll be so much fun. We laid it all out. But the minute we got there and set up, there were complaints. Oh, I don't want here. I don't want that here. And it was kind of like, just take what you can get. Because at this point, they were giving it to them. Yeah, that didn't last.
Well, and it wasn't even that. It was, we went in on, there's always a setup day. Every convention you do, you typically come in a day, sometimes two, depending on what they do before the actual convention. So this one, this particular one started on a Friday. So we went in on a Thursday. You go to set up on a Thursday. Typically you want to get there as early as you can, unless you're going to be, there's going to be a lot of people. And then that's when we go. So you guys go later, but you want to go as soon as you can, because you want to get in, you want to get out. You don't want to get stuck in traffic. You want to go on with the rest of your day. We went in. They saw the setup. We got everything situated. Everything was good. Yep, this is perfect. We love it. Looks great. Once the convention starts, so for example, if your convention starts at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, at 1 o'clock, they cannot touch anything. What is set up is set up. They have contracts. They are not allowed to move anything. They cannot touch it.
Right, they're not allowed to. The people
big
who
no-no.
Set it up, like the convention hall has people who come in to set it up. You cannot move pipe, mm-hmm. you cannot move drape, nothing. That is to be done the day before. That's why they're there. So you have to make those decisions the day before. The day, once it opens, no one's allowed to, because it's a risk if anyone from the con itself who rented the hall moves it. You're not allowed to. Okay, so. Imagine somebody being like, you know what? No, I don't. I need this gone. I need it gone. Well, that the day before was when you say that, when all the workmen are there. So
right.
They called over our contact and started ordering him around to move it all. Move this. I decided I don't want the pipe and drape. I don't want this. Well, there's nothing to do. So then it was loose. So things had to be done.
And then cue heart attack.
So demanding. Yes. And it just wasn't going well for us at that point. We started to come, they look like divas. Then it was, we had too many people in the booth. We also had someone who was an author who may have been on TV a couple times. Like, and when I mean on TV, I mean, you know, channel 593,000, that channel.
Who was on TV?
We'll
talk after. We'll talk after.
Yeah. The person with the microphone. That person set up in the corner with a megaphone. And once again, because of noise restraints, you're not allowed, you can have some music, but you can't blast any rude to the other vendors, because sometimes you're only a foot apart, if that. Sometimes you're side by side. So you're not allowed to do that. Well, this person brought a sound system and a microphone and decided to announce that they were there. So this is all going on, and
not only that, though, that wasn't even the worst part. It was the small conversations that they were having with somebody standing right in front of them.
On the microphone.
I know I walked by like once or twice and definitely disconnected it. It was super immature, but I did. I yanked that thing out so quick.
Well, you're also supposed to pay for electric. So they just moved the plate that was underneath us and plugged it in. You have to pay for electric. So now we're not paying for electric. You're having, imagine being a foot apart and somebody's talking to you on a microphone. You don't need the microphone. So things like this are happening, and we are starting to look really, really bad. Like really bad. So this is all happening, and we are the point people. So we're getting it. And so this is continuing. And it went for the entire weekend. But at the end of it, we still have one panel to do.
Yeah.
And they're expecting a full panel, meaning more than three people. And it's an interactive panel. And we have this whole thing planned out.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. So we go and we're like, hey, okay, so our panel's at 4:30. You guys ready? And they go, no, you guys go do it. Well, we can't because it's an interactive panel with teams. So we need teams, meaning more than one person on the team. We ain't got it. It's just me and Shells. And we look at each other. We're like, say what? Sorry? What? No.
Hey, I will say, though, we nailed it. We had so many people in there. And it is nothing like we do now, you know, because we didn't have just Corey. We didn't have that personality. But we nailed it. And I feel like when we did it then, I actually got to argue my points. And I got to make sure that everybody understood that they were wrong and that
it became who would win, but initially we went in with a totally different idea. And then all of a sudden it was just you and me on a mic going, Michael Keaton, Batman, go. And it was just, oh my gosh, we're
going to do this. But the audience,
the audience loved it. We were good, but we were thrown out, like under a bus. Then they backed the bus up, went about 50 feet back, and then was like, hold on, and bent forward and hit us again. It was like, we don't know what's happening. This all went on, and that was not what was in the brochure. So they have programs, everything's written up. So you're walking in there thinking it's one, and then there's me and Chelsea on the microphones going, who's the better Batman? Go. And we're just like, okay, argue, and trying to figure these things out. And this is all on the fly. We
absolutely
get the whole thing done.
But, you know, we adapted, which is, you know, something that I think is super important. But the shots fired didn't really happen until, you know, we had the conversation with the convention hall, and I went to the publisher and I explained, we could, you know, this is how they want it. This is what they were looking for. This is not what you did. So they don't want to partner with you, which they never did. That was never on the table. But they would like to contract me out to help, which, because at that point we hadn't said that Danny was a part of it. And so I told them, you know, they want to work with me. This is their dream. They want to have these indie authors come in. They want to expand on their convention. They want to bring in these new audiences. Are you interested in being a part of it? I immediately got shut down. It did turn into an argument. It ended up causing issues. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, no big deal. Hung up the phone. Not hung up on them. I'm more mature than that. But we ended up, you know, hanging up, disconnecting everything. We started a pop-up bookshop, and we started going through, and we started pulling these authors. And for our first one, it was tough. You know, we kept getting a bunch of – we were very lucky. We got an amazing group of authors. But then by the second one – we couldn't figure out what was wrong. We kept getting these weird responses. We had a bunch of people reaching out, and they were super excited. And we would go through, and we would, you know, either accept or deny their books, give them reason always. And then we would never hear anything back from the people that we had said, yeah, we love your book. We think you would be a great fit for this one. And we couldn't figure out why. And then we found out through an author who had been very kind enough and had just, you know, not even knowingly, you know, saying that they had just come out and said, you know what, this is so much better than I was expecting. This is so much better than I was told it was going to be. Thank you for taking care of me, all of this. And I was like, hey, Danny, that was a little weird, right? Like, I know, you know, I'm excited that they had fun. They did great. This is amazing. But that was a little weird. And then we realized after furthering the discussion that they had been told that the pop-up bookshop was a scam, that we take all of the authors' books, don't actually let any authors attend. Mind you, there were pictures. There were videos. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I thought picture if it didn't happen was a real thing, but it's fine. So we went through and we start asking around and we start finding out, and then we get a couple authors to send us information in email because CYA.
That
were doing it, and it was from our own collection, that publishing house that, you know, it's your family. It's supposed to be the people that support you, regardless if, you know, you stay with them, whatever it may be. That is what they're supposed to want best for you, for your books, for their authors, for their books, everything. It was not. you know, it was somebody internally pretty high up that was going through and just tearing us apart every step of the way.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, we've done several of these and we have authors that are backing us now. But at that mm-hmm. time, it was like pulling teeth. It was, I don't say groveling because I don't beg, but it was testimonials. We had to reach out to the authors that we had taken with us and had to actually ask them, like, hey, do you mind just reaching out to this author and being like, yeah, I definitely, this is not a scam. They didn't steal my books. They haven't done any of that. You know, this is real life. And luckily we had that group, but it was hard.
After Raleigh,
I think that we figured out. Like, it was so discouraging.
Yeah, it took till
Raleigh. Very discouraging.
It took to our second one. Yeah. And it was also because, to back up a second, the publishing house wanted to continue with the convention, but they had demands.
Yeah.
So we knew at that point they weren't going to move forward, and they gave us the list of demands. They wanted to start being paid. They wanted to bring in guest authors who they felt were famous, and they wanted those hotels, all these things paid for. Well, the person we talked to, he did not have that say. He said, I can put it through and talent will take care of it and decide. But he's like, you can't say you're going to do that and then say, oh, yes, we've got it paid for. He's like, I have nothing to do with that. But they wanted to be paid to come. But if you're getting the booth for free, you're not going to be paid. And the guy even said, he goes, what kind of business model is that? And we were just like, well, yeah, you know. And we couldn't even tell him all the other demands they had. We couldn't even tell him because it was embarrassing. And so basically they were like, at that point, we won't even let the author, it was authors from that publishing house in. And he was like, the whole point of this was to not be loyal to one publishing house. He's like, we've already done that. We've had that problem. It's horrible. We want a bunch of people. So we knew where it was going. And he was like, if that's the case, he's like, we won't use any of you. He's like, goodbye. Have a great day. So the idea was we'd rather save it so authors from this publishing house can keep coming than let this whole thing rot. So it wasn't us being like, we're going to steal this. Here we go. It was just like, we got to salvage this relationship and salvage it quick. And so when everything went around that we stole it, it was like, no. They still could not see the mistakes they made by making these demands. And some of these demands did make it to him. He knew of some of them. He had already heard the rumblings.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to be like, no, of course not. No. It's just, you know, oh, we want approval on panels. All our authors have to be on X amount. Because during that weekend, a couple authors wanted to be on other people's panels because they felt they were more experts. We had pushed for it, and one of them didn't show up.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that didn't go over well either. So there were other things that were going on that were not making the house look in the most positive light. So when were fired and it was like, you know, they stole from us. They did this. It was like, okay, you want to say that, but did you mention that you didn't show up for this, that you did this, you demanded that, you wanted this, and you wanted all the authors to be in Celebrity Alley? And Celebrity Row.
Yeah, that is bonkers.
Did you mention that? And, you know, so there was a lot of other things going on.
I don't think I could survive in that alley. It gets so crazy over there.
I
think I'd have a panic attack.
I didn't want to stand there. Nobody come there. I mean, imagine being an author next to somebody like a Michael Roker who's got
Oh, my God. I would have so much fun. Are you kidding me?
And nobody visiting you. And they're just being like, who the hell are you? I wrote a
book.
No,
that's perfect.
You know what I mean?
See, that's where I adapt so well, though. I'd be like, hey, Michael, what's up? What's going on? Like, and then you make friends with them. I would be more content when nobody's showing up than having a line because then I'd feel nauseous. But
it's also one of those things that, not everybody is that way.
You're a celebrity. And nobody's coming to sign your – you are going to have some crushed souls. Instead, where people are coming up to buy books, and then they're like, oh, what's that book? Oh, can I sign? Like, the flow is so much better. So, you know, I mean, because we've seen it where we've walked by even celebrities and nobody's there, and you see the look on their faces where they're just like, what am I doing here? We've even seen it. And they're people who are like, okay, you know they've been in shows or you recognize them, and they're just looking at their handler like, why did I waste my time?
Yeah,
you know, come
I
on.
Mean...
Like,
But it's so funny sometimes when you see those ones, because you have half of them that have the same thing I would, where they have that relief where like, yes, I get a break. This is amazing. This is so much fun. And then the other half are exactly like that. They're like, are you freaking kidding me? Do you know what I could be doing on a Saturday right now? This would be like, are you kidding me? I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you. I could be in my bed sleeping, or I could be catching up on something. There's a million different things. But I guess the whole moral of this one is be careful. It was so unexpected. Be careful who you think your friends are, even if you've known them, even if you guys have worked together and you've gone through all of this. There is so much that changes within a person, especially if they feel like they've been slighted or they feel as though they deserve more or that they should have gotten more. It comes down to making sure that you protect yourself, because in a situation like that, it's one of the main reasons that everybody says I'm paranoid, but I get everything in writing. I get everything in writing. I have it recorded, not for any other reason, just so that I'm probably one of those people now that I think about it, that I can be like, yeah, on May 5th at 2 p.m., you literally told me this was how it's going to be. Now we're in July. Why aren't you here? And it's one of those situations that you just got to make sure that you're careful, because nobody is going to protect you. That is what you're for. You have to take care of yourself. You have to trust yourself. And that doesn't mean that you don't put a little bit of trust in them, because I feel like no matter who it is, whether it's a publisher, an editor, typesetter, friend, family, whoever it is, you have to be able to go through and understand that at some point, whether they mean to or not, they're probably going to screw you over. That just sounded so pessimistic.
I was just going to say, holy cow.
Oh, my God. That went so dark.
That
is not what it was supposed to be. I wrote way too much today. That's what it was. I'm just going to blame it on.
You went rogue, man.
I did. That went
so dark. You went
rogue
on that one.
Where's my sunshine t-shirt? I feel like I need to wear that.
The thing is that when it comes to something like this with business, especially with a publisher, we've said this before, they've got to keep their lights on. They're not worried about you turning yours on. They're just not.
That sounds dark too. What happened to us?
Really? I thought that sounded so much better. I thought I was being a little bit
You just basically said that your publisher is going to shut your lights off.
Well, no, I
mean, in a way they
are. Paying their bills before they're worried about you paying yours.
That's dark. If it came to this, let's just do that. I'm telling you, we are like the light, fun, sunshine people. Normally we're so uplifting, and now we're just like, the whole world is burning. It's fine. They're just going to burn you too. Like, it's like, I feel like we took
a
really dark turn.
Okay.
I like it though.
The bottom line is, here's that.
We're going to end this on a positive note.
I'm going to spin this. I trust Chelsea, she trusts me, and that's why we did the pop-up bookshop together. How's that? Is that better? Is that better?
Yes, that was perfect.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Cool. All right, there we go.
We recovered.
We haven't screwed each other over because we've both been screwed over. Better.
Better.
Did I go
We're still laughing. We're still going. We're on that escalator.
Okay, cool. I did that. All right, that's probably the only nice thing I got out of me right now, but I tried. So you can find somebody to ride this out. Just, there's some pitfalls along the way, so you want to make sure you have a friend. How's that?
Yeah.
Better?
And always be honest with your – nailed it. Be honest with yourself, with your expectations, and also be realistic. And that's what it's all about, guys. But that's why we're here. We're here to mess up, share our blunders with you, and then make it feel like you don't have to either. So – That's our show today. So we fixed it, ended on a high note.
And on that note, we did better. Next week is no books, more problems. Wow, we're dark again. Okay. I was really trying on that one. Go get some ice cream with some rainbow sprinkles for some color. I don't know. And keep up with us on Instagram at Wonder Twin Events. And maybe ask us some happy questions, because, I feel like, we should be, in a dark room listening to emo music, and I don't know, maybe some black lipstick, because, we went dark real quick. But, no, there is good things out there, and you can have a lot of fun doing this. I have no idea how to spin this right now, Joe. I'm trying to
feel like
we
just
got to
go out on that note. Like, I feel like we nailed it. I feel like if we keep trying to fix it, we're just going to make it worse.
So until next time, guys, same time, same place.
Bye-bye.